Love and marriage, love and marriage.
Welcome to KVMR. You're listening to He Said, She Said. He Said with Paul Sanders.
And She Said with Harriet Diamond. Our mission is to provide information that will give you new perspectives so that you can communicate more effectively and be happier in your relationships.
And despite our lengthy experience, me as a therapist and Harriet as a life coach, we're focusing on giving new perspectives, but not providing therapy.
Not providing therapy. Good, Paul.
Was that directed at me?
Yeah, it was. Yes.
The therapist in the room.
Yes, good. May this therapist stand up and take a hand. Also, there's an opportunity for you to share by calling in today. Our number is 530-265-9555. Don't hesitate. Just give us a call. We love hearing from you.
We really do. And so it's 2 days past Valentine's Day. So how did it go, you folks out there?
I hope they're saying it went great. They loved celebrating with their loved one or with themselves doing something special.
Uh-huh. But was it a milestone with passion and excitement?
Well, I think
I think so.
But this weekend also, Paul, is a time for celebrating. Hey, every day is a time to celebrate love.
Sure.
Right? Okay. Or were people just feeling it was same old, same old?
Mm-hmm. Because we're going to talk a little bit about that, right? How to make things better in a certain room of the house.
Yes.
It's the garage, right?
No? I wouldn't want it in my garage, though it's clean, but no. I could think of more exciting places to go.
Okay, I'm teasing.
but everyone still has time to make every day special. It doesn't have to be about Valentine's Day, and that's something that we always need to remember. Buying flowers doesn't have to be the day of Valentine's where the prices are sky high. It could be a day... any day, just to bring flowers.
Just because.
Mm-hmm. Just to say, hey, babe, I love you, or I love being with you, or you're a terrific person, or you're a great friend, whatever.
I think because we live such hectic lives, two-income households, people run around, maybe you have kids, they all have to go to different places. Sometimes it's all you can do is get home, get food on the table, and then get the kids to bed, and then you're exhaustedly falling into bed as well. I mean, it really does take some effort to make quality time for your mate.
I think that's what date nights are about with married couples.
Mm-hmm. I think we really talked about that in another show.
Yeah, really taking time out. Well, I find any day, especially Valentine's Day, is a good time to recommit if you're with a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're alone, I really say continue to commit to always love and pleasure yourself. That's a big one for me. I even wrote a blog on KVMR about that. It doesn't have to be that you're with someone.
Right.
Loving yourself is really important. But
and
let me
here's a corny therapist saying, too, if you can't love yourself, you're not going to find someone that is a meaningful partner because they will see you as somehow wounded. That if you can love yourself, it gives off an aura where better people come into your life. Does that make sense?
Yes. You attract what you are.
Ooh, I like that.
Okay,
I like
good.
That.
Well, I've got a question for our audience, and let me ask you this. If you wanted to make your significant other feel completely loved, what would you do? Are you doing those things?
Whoa.
If not, why not? That's an important one, I think. Hey, you want to please?
Mm-hmm.
You want to make things special? Then if not, why not?
I know.
And I think it's really important to go ahead and think about those things that maybe you're not doing.
Oh.
And if you are doing, keep doing it. That's what I think. Keep doing it. Hey, Paul, we got an email from our last show.
Okay.
And because we honor all questions from listeners, and I suggest that they could write an email because our community says, hey, I don't want anybody to recognize my voice.
Mm-hmm.
So
small
they hesitate in calling. Mm-hmm. But emails do come through. And this email essentially asked whether using a sexual surrogate was cheating because our last show was on infidelity.
Right.
Like last two shows?
Well, you know, sexual surrogacy is really a respected helping profession. There's required coursework, there's rules, there's licensure. It's really a legitimate source of education for a single person to learn how to reach an orgasm, either by themselves or with another person. But they also help couples learn more about how to pleasure each other so they're not in the... They're not in the sex trades. The sexual surrogates are not prostitutes. So to me, using them is not cheating. You know, for most couples, the use of a surrogate kind of shows a level of commitment to their relationship. They'd rather have a stranger in their bedroom to help them each be better lovers toward each other. And there's actual clinical disorders where perhaps folks can't have an orgasm. And so they help with things like that.
Well, I think more and more I'm reading that this is happening with couples, that if in fact they find they have an issue, they're accepting that challenge and saying, how do I pass this?
Sure.
How do I get past this? I want to have pleasure. I want to feel good. So what's today's show? Today's show is how to have the greatest sex at any age.
Ooh.
Yep. Everybody says to me that very same thing, Paul. Ooh. Well, I think there are essentials necessary for being the best you can be.
Okay.
And that's what it's about, being the best you can be. And I really thought to break it down into four categories, and you like that too.
Mm-hmm.
Number one was the mindsets and attitudes.
Okay.
Two is health. Three is communicating your individual desires to each other. And four is mixing it up.
You know, Harriet, when you brought this idea up, I mean, the guy in me, I tried to think what other guys would be wanting to pick up from this show. And it boils down to information. We men, you know, we're really good at taking direction and following through, but we're not so good at asking for suggestions. You know, why do you think that is?
I think it's because men's egos really don't want to ask. Mm-hmm. It used to be in days when we didn't have GPS systems that they didn't want to ask for directions. So I think it goes along with that too. I also think that it's important, the woman's place, Paul, to really direct where the guy goes or direct what they need to have happen. Mm-hmm. And that is by being direct.
Just saying it.
Right.
Well, you know, for men, we live in a world where for decades, the media, they portray us as we're the strong man. We automatically know what the women want and we deliver it without prompting. And, you know, these messages, it makes it seem like, well, if we have to ask, then we're already failing in the bedroom.
Yeah.
You know, and we've all had girlfriends that have kind of chastised us for asking.
And really?
There are women that they actually get turned off when we ask what they want because I think they too, maybe they were blinded by the media that promotes this all-knowing guy that sweeps them off their feet and already knows just what to do.
They know what to do.
Well, that's the message we get. I mean, this is a major dilemma, Harriet.
Mm-hmm.
What do women really want? The all-knowing strong man or the man that will ask for advice in bed? You know, we know that confidence looks sexy. But to me, asking for advice or suggestions doesn't look confident. And so to me, it doesn't look sexy.
Gosh, you know, that sounds like one of our myths that we talked about in our past show. And I don't like this myth. Honestly, Paul, because I think that's how women have dissatisfaction in their bedrooms, because they've put it out there that they do want that confident. And confidence is fine, but I think we want that loving man, and that loving man wants to give us all the affection and the attention and the loving and the sexual stuff that we would want. So we know that they would want to please us. Right. So why wouldn't we tell them exactly how to do it?
Well, why
how would you know? I don't. I think that's a very important thing. I think women need to really tell the man, their mate, what they want. Rather than saying, I wasn't satisfied. You know what? If you're saying, I'm not satisfied, it's your fault. No.
I know. I always blame the woman.
Right.
For not bringing it up. But you're saying bring it up like right then.
Right.
Don't wait till the next breakfast. Oh, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, well, I would have something to say on that one, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's good. I think that we really need to share in our beds what we want.
Okay.
And to really be out there. And we'll continue to talk about this because I think it's really an important part. I don't think that it's just up to the man to know how a woman's body is.
Because everyone's different, too.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So have I just been barking up the wrong tree this whole time that women have always wanted that kind of strong guy that already knows and doesn't want to ask for advice because they already have it figured out?
Well, maybe there are some women who would really agree with that they want the confident, sexy guy. And I think that those two words are right.
Mm-hmm.
But they also want to be pleased, and they're not going to be pleased just with that confidence level.
Sure.
They're going to be pleased with a guy knowing how to please them.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you're saying, all women are different. And maybe if they've been with one woman, well, they're going to be really surprised that the other woman does not want that or like that or need that to really feel full pleasure. You know?
I would hope that the woman would say, wow, he cares enough about me, cares enough about my pleasure to ask. So, you know, that's kind of kudos on our part, right?
Yeah, well, I think you need to keep telling men that.
Okay.
That men
guys, you hearing this? Is this mic on?
Yeah. That men need to realize that it's okay to ask. It's a good thing to ask. It's a good practice to ask.
But it doesn't make us less of a man.
No.
You know, we're still strong men, but we can ask.
Well, makes you more of a man if you could really please.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that. Okay. Well, let's get to mindset and attitude.
Okay.
Okay, and that's one of the attitudes about, you know, having that myth that goes on that that you need to be strong and know it all.
Right.
I can't imagine. And wait a minute, that's the same thing for the woman.
Okay.
Not every man's the same or likes the same stroke, so to speak. I think that
we have a lot of similarities. We can be pretty simple.
Well, there's a lot of erogenous zones to touch. I think you got to explore.
Gotcha.
It's not always the same thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, good attitude is about making it playful.
Okay.
It's not a performance, and there are no ratings.
You mean there isn't like a card with 1 through 10?
You know what? That would really be funny at the end of a tryst to pick up a card and say, oh, we got to 3. You did great at 3.
Uh-huh.
You know, you were, no, this, we're just being silly.
I'm stuck on what you said, though, performance, because I do think men in general, we're hardwired, we're performance-oriented people. And that is whether we're on the clock at work, whether we're competing with our friends, you know, we compete a lot. And that to me is performance. So I do believe that we kind of have this anxiety on the back of our mind of performing. You know, so
you have a checklist?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Really? Okay. Well, I think if you're not feeling good about yourself, this is not going to be a good experience.
Whether you're a man or a woman.
Right. So if you're having a checklist, this is going to be an issue when you get into bed. I read this.
But wait a minute. Checklists are good for men. It's how we get things accomplished.
Well, sexually, it may not be the very thing that would work. So I'm not saying it wouldn't be good if you were building a table. But if you want to get to a woman's body, I don't think you just need that checklist. Okay. I think you need to just be relaxed and look to have fun and look to please and be pleased. Okay.
I do think if you feel good about yourself, you can have fun. But if you're kind of uptight, then that's tougher.
Well, here you go. I read this article that said, when a man is with a woman, he is usually motivated by her prominent body features and is blinded to her imperfections. I hope all women are really hearing this, because it's not the shape or size of a woman's body that turns most men off. It's her insecurity about her perception of her body that turns men off. Saying things like, oh, I love this. Oh, my thighs are too fat. My butt is too big. I've got too many wrinkles or cellulite. Stretch marks. My breasts are too small. My breasts are too big. I mean, I don't think men want to hear that at all. And this article sort of said the same thing, that men just want you to feel relaxed and to be in a receiving mode for pleasure. Okay?
Okay.
And men, wait a minute, men have problems too, by the way.
No, we don't. We're perfect.
No, you got your concerns too.
Yes.
And that could be, oh, my gut is too big.
Yes.
Uh-oh, she's going to really see my hair loss if I bend my head down. My penis is too small. Though I've never heard my penis is too big. I never heard that one.
As a complaint?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Looking masculine. And sexual performance, you know? Men have all these worries and concerns. And let's face facts, if you have all these concerns, men and women, it is really hard to have sexual play, to be easy, to
I'm
be
I'm stuck
fine.
At what you said about the confident woman. You know, I'm thinking of this one woman I worked with. She was kind of a plain person, a little bit overweight. But the way she carried herself, she was so darn funny and so comfortable with herself. I was attracted to her. It was just like I would not normally be attracted to her style. But because she presented herself so confidently, there was something really about her. You know, I got to say, a confident and funny woman, whether she's plain or overweight, is much more sexy than like an insecure, bitchy sex supermodel.
Really?
You know, yes.
The supermodel is not going to work it?
Not if she's complaining about things or is high maintenance.
Yeah.
You know, I think the mindset of men is that, I mean, let's face it, we're always thinking about sex every day. It could be all time consuming, and at times men will do anything to get women into bed.
But, is that still true?
Oh, okay. We're dogs. I said that the other day.
Cool.
Not all of us, but you know, the single guys, you got to remember.
Huh.
But, you know, once we're in bed, you know, confidence and attitude, is that what women are looking for? You know, if so, that's another reason why we didn't want to ask questions, because we don't want to look confident. We talked a little bit about that.
Well, I'm going to apologize then. I'm
going
to apologize. I'm sorry to all the guys that have, women have promoted that attitude. And I think we need to really change this. I think it first of all, it's unfortunate that men feel this way. It's unfortunate that women may have said these things to men.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line, it keeps us all unsatisfied. So what's the point? What's the point of all that? But what are all the good sexual things you do and enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the things that people need to focus on and think about. Women need to say to themselves, hey, what is it that's working well?
Mm-hmm.
Good. You know what's working well? Then continue those things.
Sure.
You know what you liked, but you'd like to get more of?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Then you need to tell the guy that.
Please.
That you. What's that? Please?
Please tell us.
Okay, because if you don't know, my point is this.
Sure.
If you don't know, Paul, then the guys won't know either.
That is for sure.
So I think that's where we need to go. It is about openness, communication. You know how real estate people say location, location, location? No. My word would be communication, communication, communication.
Although knowing the location of some things is pretty handy.
Well, okay.
Knowing exactly where it is.
You're funny today. Okay. Well, I think openness and communication allows you to explore different sexual interests and accommodate them. You know, different interests, Paul.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
I'm talking sexual interests.
Okay. Like the things that are standard, but things that maybe aren't?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Like sharing things that maybe you've fantasized on.
Good point.
And that you want to bring into this new relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That you don't want the same thing that maybe you've experienced and you haven't talked about, you didn't feel comfortable. You know, women really need safety. We need to be in a feeling safe. That's why when you love someone, you could really feel safe and more
you could
open
say whatever
to
you
yes,
wanted.
More
and not
open
fear
to
rejection or
right.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that the couple that really shows each other and supports each other and mm-hmm. says, hey, we're going to help you achieve your greatest sex, that's the person who's going to give you the greatest sex.
True. I do agree. Some folks are more open than others. But, you know, sometimes we have complicating factors, too. There are people that come into a relationship with inhibitions, insecurity, you know, past trauma, abuse. Then there's always folks that are just too modest to broach the subject. Well, what do you do then?
Well, it would be hard to have a talk show about it with someone like that. I'm glad you're open to really talk about these things. Well, I would, first of all, explore the source of the inhibition.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm talking about with your mate. Let's say that you're feeling you can't have the lights on. I'm just picking
sure.
something. Okay, you can't have the lights on. That if your mate said to you, hey, let's talk about that, why?
Mm-hmm.
You may find that the answer is, I don't like my body. You
sure.
know? Darkness is going to keep it more romantic and
mm-hmm.
not make me feel funny about you looking at me,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And we would love to hear that feedback, and we don't have to have the lights on. If it makes anything that makes our partner more comfortable, we're going to be all about it.
Oh, well, that's what I love about you guys, that you really want to please us. That's
mm-hmm.
why I say it's really just about telling you what works
right,
and what doesn't, and you telling us, too. I'm not just putting it on,
sure.
you know, pleasing the women, also pleasing your guy.
Right.
So we talk about inhibition. Well, is it parents that gave you that feeling? Is it your family, past experience?
What if you grew up in a household where that was super taboo? You know, sex in general. So it's given a shame label, and then you carry that into your adulthood.
Well, I think that happens too. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think it does come a lot from your family. I wouldn't go into what my past background was in mm-hmm. my family, but yeah. Once you overcome that, once you look at it clearly and say, hey, these things are inhibiting me from
sure.
having the greatest sex now, at least you could work on them.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's with a therapist or a surrogate.
Sure.
Or because you don't want to let these things pull hold you back. That's the most
we talked about
important.
That earlier. It's that,
yeah.
you know, so I feel so bad for people that they knew they had this baggage from childhood
mm-hmm.
and they didn't take care of it, you
mm-hmm.
know, and it just ruined years of their life where they could have been free from all this old stuff and been able to just move forward uninhibited, unencumbered by all that stuff from their childhood. I feel bad for them.
Do you find that people come to you, families come to you and have issues, and when they talk about it, it's kind of eased up or they feel better about themselves?
Yeah, if I'm doing good therapy.
Okay.
Okay. I think sometimes if a couple comes to me and they're having problems in the bedroom, I'll talk with both of them together and apart. And I might work specifically with just one of them if I feel like one of them has maybe some childhood of origin issues that require some work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but and I make sure to say it isn't like you're the problem, but you know, here's a subsection I see that is worthy of some time.
Mm-hmm. And maybe the sex issue or problem is coming from some other place.
Mm-hmm. Could be trauma.
Or it could be their workload.
Oh.
I'm just saying, it could be their lifestyle. Maybe they're just having a problem with that.
We talked about that earlier. I mean, the two-income household, people running around, it's a mm-hmm. high-stress world mm-hmm. today. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you have kids or, you know, if there's two people working, that's a lot. You know, you might find these inhibitions and insecurities are present in all those areas of life, but if you resolve it, the sex problems uh-huh. may take care of themselves.
Well, that makes sense. Well, I'm feeling, what could you be doing that would make it even better? Of course, I always ask this.
Sure.
This is kind of my belief. And I think that once you start complaining what you're not getting, you know, making that never gets you anywhere.
That sounds like nagging.
It does sound like nagging, uh-huh. but it's also so confrontational in the sense of putting somebody down.
Mm-hmm.
And who wants to make love after that?
Well, I also think it's the technical phrase is I versus you statements. When you make an I statement, you're talking about what your experience is. If you're saying you, that's more like a complaint. That's more accusatory, like pointing your finger. You know, so
like you're not doing this.
Right.
You don't kiss me enough.
Right.
Rather than, hey, babe, can we kiss a little bit more?
Yeah.
See, it's the same
thing. It sounds so different.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's
also a technical term called strengths-based communication. So rather than talk about all the negatives, you start the conversation with what they're doing well. You know, hey, I really appreciate when you do this, and boy, this is so fun. And hey, could we try doing this a little more? You know, that sounds so much better than
yes.
the complaining you were talking about.
Right. But see, that goes back to my thought and what I expressed here was that I think if a woman took time out,
mm-hmm.
she's all alone in her bedroom, and she took time out to recall what it was that made her feel really good with her mate.
Okay.
She could really come from that point and say, you know, I've really been thinking about it.
Mm.
When she sees him.
Sure.
I've really been thinking about this. Can we do more of this? Because I really liked mm-hmm. when you did that.
Yeah.
Or when that happened.
That sounds so much better to the man.
I think it would.
Hey, you're not doing blank
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
You know.
Or I would like the same thing. When I say I think women would like the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If a man said, hey, you do this, but you know, could you do this a little longer?
Sure.
You know, or don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the whole thing is fun. If you could talk about it and not feel stressed about it while you're talking about it,
mm-hmm.
just have a good time.
Or while you're doing it.
Oh, well, for sure, while you're doing it,
mm-hmm.
just have a good time, you know? And ask yourself, do you feel attracted to your mate? Hey, if there's something that you would like different, you know, in maybe,
your partner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whether it be body image, okay? Or,
you mean asking them to kind of maybe work on themselves?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the same thing for the woman, you know? Or things like, hey, you know, I would like to see you in something sexier.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's not just about body image. I mean, I'd like to see you
asking
in something.
Asking for what you want.
Yes, asking again for what you want.
This is
I think a man would feel comfortable mm-hmm. about that.
This is the growing old together that we've talked about, you know, accepting the mate as your mate as they age. And we should try and make accommodations for our spouse, you know, while trying ourselves to be the best that we can be.
Right. Hey, amen to that. So our next category is definitely important, of course, and plays a big part in all of this. And that is number two, and that is health.
Mm.
Very important, I think. Okay? I mean, we could go into toys and stuff like that, all those fun kind of things that couples can do. But I think health is a really important one. Hey, are you getting enough sleep?
Nope.
If you're not getting an... Oh, there you go. Yeah.
It's, I mean, poor sleep screws up everything, whether it's the next day or your memory or attentiveness, staying awake in the afternoon. You know, with good sleep, you'll feel alert and more positive and have more energy. And that's got to equate to the bedroom.
And even more fun during the day in the bedroom. How about that one?
True.
Okay. So really taking a look at your bedtime when you do go to bed.
KPMR, this is Paul.
Oh, are we getting calls and we're just not seeing it, huh? Okay, well, I'm glad you said and agree with me, Paul, about sleep, because I think it affects all the things that you do sexually.
Okay. Let me put you on. What's your name?
Oh, we have a caller. This is great. Thank you.
Okay, hold on. If I accidentally hang up on you, please call right back.
Okay. Okay, you got it?
Hello?
Hello, caller. Welcome to KVMR. Welcome to He Said, She Said.
Yes, great program.
Ah, thank you.
I'd like to share a little story.
Okay.
A good friend of mine went through a horrendous divorce with his first wife.
Uh-huh.
And afterwards, he went years without having any relationship.
Mm.
And then he decided he would go to a professional place in Nevada.
Okay.
And he did. And he told me that when he went in, he came in the place, and they had menus there listing all the things that were available that could be done sexually.
Okay.
And that you could go down the menu and pick out the things that you wanted, and they would adjust for that and introduce you to the right person.
Sure. So that kind of relates to what we're saying.
Yeah. And afterwards, what he told me was that with his next wife, they decided that they would make menus.
Wow.
Great idea.
As to what they each wanted, and then go down the menus and check off what they were wanting, each one of them, and exchange the menus. And he said it worked out great. They're having a wonderful marriage together.
Well, you know what? I think our listeners could really do a takeaway on the thing you said, because that is really great. Mm-hmm. It gives them ideas. It gives them that closeness that they're sharing what they would like.
Sure.
They know they're going to get it done. That's wonderful. That's such an openness. I think that's beautiful. I'm glad that he went for that. He's a happy camper now?
Yeah, and he also said that they left open a place for experimentation.
Uh-huh. Good.
Wow.
I love that one. That's great.
You can write in new things on the menu as our bodies change and how we are at different times, and go from there.
That's awesome.
Gosh,
talk about the ultimate form of communication.
It is. Thank you for calling us.
All right,
that's so wonderful.
KVMR and He Said, She Said.
Well, thank you. Great show.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for sharing that.
Right.
I love it.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
He wanted to remain anonymous, so that's why I didn't say
well,
his name.
Okay, well, that's great.
But wow, what a great punctuation for what we're talking about. Because we're really talking about communication.
Right.
But we talk about that every time.
We do.
You notice that?
That's our show.
This is our 10th show, by the way. which I think is a great milestone.
That's great.
And in looking back at all of our shows, that has always been mm-hmm. the underpinning, mm-hmm. that it's about communication, whether mm-hmm. it's myths, whether it's about dating, whether it's dealing with your own issues, how you deal with other people. Mm-hmm. It all is about communication. And what a great way to get that.
I just love that call.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about exercise. I actually... exercise, are you getting enough exercise? For women, exercise brings more endorphins, and for men, more testosterone.
Sure.
But you know, here's something. I met someone,
mm-hmm.
and I was telling her about the show,
mm-hmm.
having the greatest sex. She says to me, you know, I can't do some positions anymore. She was
right.
feeling like her sex would just not be as great as it was at one time.
Okay.
And because of her age.
Wow.
But the point is that I think it's important to build your core strength.
Sure.
Okay. Build your core strength. Well, what do you think about squats, Paul?
Squats.
I think exercising.
Sure.
And
well, there's certain parts of the gym that are for women that actually build up some, like the Kegel muscles. So
okay.
I see nothing but women
on that
show.
Boy, that's terrific.
Yeah.
I like hearing that. Is that in our town? I like hearing that.
It's in like the larger gyms. But squats don't sound attractive to me. But if it
well,
helps
I'm
me.
Well, I'm saying building up your body.
The core
you, so
I like.
So you can move.
Sure.
You can be flexible
mm-hmm.
for a position.
And
you
I'd also
to
say to your
about.
Friend, there's a laundry list of positions. So.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many that maybe many of us haven't tried. So
mm-hmm.
maybe checking off what you can't do, but then looking at things maybe you haven't tried.
Well, you know? Maybe the things you can't do, you can do is what I'm saying.
Oh,
by
with
building
the core
up
exercise.
With, yeah.
yeah. I was responding in a different way. Like it's almost like she's saying, well, I'm doomed. I can't
she
do
these
things.
She was saying she was doomed.
Yeah, but you know, I think she needs to look up other ways, other positions, and maybe...
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah. So I think mm-hmm. we're both saying... You know, giving advice about
right.
that.
Right. How about vitamins? Vitamins are very important. B
mm-hmm.
vitamins give you energy. Okay. And my other thing was, are you feeling that your weight is a factor? Are you not liking your body?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what can you do to make a realistic plan to get to where you want to be? How you want to look?
Sure.
And again, it's both the male and female
mm-hmm.
Taking stock of where they're at. And changing if they want to change. Making changes. You
sure.
know what? That's the exciting part, Paul. We could change. We could get to where we want to go.
Sure.
I mean, that's my whole belief system. You could get there.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to stay opened and say to yourself, I could get there. But,
right.
of course, you have to know, where do you want to get
yeah.
to?
Where is that destination?
Where is that destination?
Plus, you have
exactly.
to be comfortable with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Feel safe in the relationship and be aware mm-hmm. of any issues that kind of prevent you from getting there
mm-hmm.
that have nothing to do with your partner. You
right.
know, I also think there's
right.
a thing where when couples grow older, they may reach an age where sex is no longer a desire for them. They still love their mate. They're still interested in sex, but you know, this is happening to men a lot too.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
I think that's true. But I think our medical world has advanced to the point of now having a Viagra or Cialis mm. available. Hey, there's even a new one on the market. So I think we're going to see a lot of changes where we say we can't
mm-hmm.
do something. I think in these instances, I think the medical world may be helping us
mm-hmm.
being able to do whatever we want.
Yes, Viagra and Cialis has really helped a lot of men.
You know, hormones can make a difference in your
sure.
desire and your performance.
Low T for us, that could be the same thing. Low
right,
testosterone.
Right, right. Oh, and hey, there are places, there's a place in Sacramento that can give you a shot for that, you know? Yeah, no, it's true. And you could have a lot of testosterone. So again, it's where you feel or how you analyze
sure.
what's going on in your body and what you would like to change.
Mm-hmm.
It's about change
yeah.
and communicating.
change is such a loaded thing, too, because I think people are afraid of change. They're resistant to change. They push against it, even though it's for the better.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to kind of push past.
So you think
that
they'd want to stay in the same position, making love every time?
I think if they were a client in my office, I would ask them, so how's that working for you? Staying where you're at, doing the same things, is that comfortable for you, or do you want to risk trying something new? You know, but I got to
Well, wait a minute, is it a risk?
Well, for some, yeah. If they're in my office,
What's the risk? That's what I don't get. What's the risk? That they're not going to like it and they're going to say, let's never do this again?
I guess like a fear of failure, fear of change. Mm-hmm. There's lots of fears.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad they're seeing you if they have a fear.
Well, I'll always promote therapy. The therapist in me. Because I think most people at some point in their life have a need for that. And it could be dealing with past baggage or trauma or problems in the bedroom.
Hmm. True enough. Right. Well, we've got number three. And number three is communicate individual desires. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about that all the way through. But
that caller really captured it. Here's another caller. Hold on.
That was great.
KB Mar, this is Paul. Hello?
Okay. Well, communicate individual desires.
We got a lot more material that we got to get through.
So I'm saying no condemning.
I can't, not saying something is bad.
Don't put it in the negative.
I got to go.
Because we don't want to put anyone on the defensive. We don't want our mates to feel on the defensive. And we said before, this is not a good way to make change happen. So we're repeating that for you so you know that.
Sure.
The way you communicate is important.
Right.
Bring out the good stuff. Don't make
strengths-based.
Mm-hmm. Don't make your partner feel that they're not good at something, right. You know?
Well, and you talk about, wow, I really liked this, or when we did this, this was awesome. Can we add, you know, fill in the blank?
Right. So, and I have to add once again, if we're not satisfied sexually, women, that's our fault.
I always think it's our fault. Why is that? I feel responsible for making sure it's all good. I think I'm not alone.
I know, but I think that's kind of old line.
You're saying it's all you guys?
It is. It's our fault if we don't put it out there and communicate what we want and need in a sexual relationship. I do. I believe this. I don't think it's the guy. If the guy doesn't know, well, I'm not going to go 100%, Paul.
Darn. I was on a roll here. I absolve myself of all responsibility.
I just believe that women can have it all. That's where I'm coming from. Women can have it all.
So could we guys.
Yes, you could.
Okay.
And that's kind of knowing what to do. You're going to be very pleased when you know what to do.
Okay.
And that's an important thing.
Kind of the dissatisfaction we've been talking about.
Yeah.
The other person, can they fix that?
Absolutely they can. They could discuss and explore variation, sexual tastes and interest. And just like he said on the menu, hey, you could put down exploration.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
I had this fantasy. I read this something. And you know what? I'd like to put it in to our lovemaking.
I love it.
And of course the guy, of course the guy's going to go, I love it. Yes, let's do it. Exactly.
We are predictable like that.
I think that if there are really issues of abandonment or self-consciousness present, I think then it's really going to be tough.
Old issues can really bleed into a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking of a girlfriend I had. She was raped long before I dated her.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived together, but she was very uptight in the bedroom. And of course, I was sensitive to that. And I really tried to, accommodate for that. But it was really hard to please her, and even talking about sex was uncomfortable. So I was sensitive about what she went through, but I kind of felt it was like difficult for both of us.
Well, I think it comes down to it's very hard to have great sex at any age when you're carrying trauma, because that's probably the heaviest of baggage done to your body.
That's a very good visual. And that baggage affects every avenue of your life, especially that one. So all the more reason to see a therapist and really kind of put that trauma behind you.
I know you say that.
Yeah. I'm not promoting the
therapist. Well, it's okay, because I think that there is a time to really go and see the therapist. And just like you said, the worst thing is for us to live a whole lifetime having the same issue and problems. Why would we do that?
Right.
I think you need to have that wake-up call to say, again, I could get what I want.
Right.
And find the way to get it.
There are even people with such low self-esteem, they don't even say they can't even feel like they deserve the best. Like, this is the best it gets, and I don't deserve any better, because deep down they don't feel very good about themselves. You know, all the more reason, yes, go to therapy, clean house about your past, and you'll feel light as a feather, I swear.
Well, you know what? That's a very good point.
Sure.
I really would not want to be in my 80s and 90s feeling like, boy, I didn't get what I want.
You know? Well, we both talked about friends of ours where they keep making the same mistake over and over again. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what is wrong with me? What's happening? I keep getting in these terrible relationships, never happy, never satisfied. Mm-hmm. And it's really, what's the common denominator? There's something that about you that's triggering or directing you to the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fix that. And like we talked about earlier in the show, your aura will be, hey, I'm a together person. I'm not a wounded individual. And then when you are that way, the right people come to you. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I love the story of that man who called. That was really great, where he was still in his relationship when he went to, what did he say, Nevada?
Yeah.
When he went there and then came back. Oh, no, he came back, and then in his next relationship,
it was
his next relationship that he made a change. That was great. Well, that's great. So what's our last category? I'm sorry that we're actually ending our show
soon. I know.
I hate that. We're calling it mixing it up, or it could be being playful.
Sure.
I'd give it that name, being playful. Okay.
Well, I mean, if you can get past all the things we were talking about, you know, then you can have fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I talked about massage. That's a way to kind of help yourself relax, but maybe, and you mentioned, well, maybe massaging each other.
Mm-hmm.
I was also thinking in terms of mixing it up, you know, you can get in a rut, you end up doing the same positions in the same place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, same place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I think give it a try on the floor, in the car, you know, just...
I do think of spontaneity, different times of day, different places, even using like costumes or toys or going to semi-public places.
Well, that's pretty much exhibitionist, but that's good too.
Sure.
I go for all of that. Well, I think we've really covered it, the whole our show, our next show. Let's just tell them what our next show is, and that's called The Big O. Yep. We're headed
to... This is about tires?
Yes. We're headed to The Big O for our next show, and I use the word achieving pleasure and healing. So, I didn't know, getting pleasure, having healing, but anyway, it's achieving pleasure and healing.
That's going to be a great show.
Yes, and I have... some books that would be really helpful to those people who need the healing for the big orgasm.
Right.
Okay.
You actually had something from a book you wanted to read.
Well, I do.
Okay.
I could talk about orgasm, but I'm going to talk about this because I found this really profound for me. Love is the only true currency. In the end, love is all that matters. Love is all that you can take with you. And love is all that cannot be taken from you. What do you think, Paul?
I love it. That's really deep.
Well, we have our upcoming... Oh, do you need to close?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Our next show is going to be on the 16th on a Friday.
Right.
March.
Okay.
And although this is somewhat a tongue-in-cheek show, this is not therapy. And as always, the views and opinions expressed here do not reflect those of KVMR, its board, management, staff, or underwriters. We sincerely hope that our show gave you new perspectives in your relationships. If you like the show, please email our program director, Steve Baker, at program@kvmr.org. So thanks so much for hanging out with us. I'm Paul.
And I'm Harriet.
And we are...
He said, she said.
Love and marriage, love and marriage.